Hey, exiles, welcome to another episode of the Still Sane Pod. I am your host, Talkative Try, and I am here with the faceless 787 Prada to talk all things Path of Exile 2, 0.4, Fate of the Val, The Last of the Druids. Prada, man, how are you doing today?
Great, I'm doing good.
Sick,
it's a beautiful day to be on a video game. Indoors.
Right, oh, okay.
We're not touching grass. There's no time to touch grass. It's too early in the league.
Can you see grass where you are right now?
No.
No.
No. We're in a pitch black room in the middle of the day. Let's get it.
Oh,
no, I'm kidding. Imagine. Hey, real blasters don't need lights in their room. You got a monitor.
That's
you get a little tan going from the monitor.
Yeah.
OLED.
Uh-huh.
Light your face up.
Yep. A lot of flashes, depending on the skill you're playing, constantly just banging in your face.
Oh, right? Yeah. You got to get the worst MTX for your eyes. Something bright blue. Oh, yeah.
Hmm. Mm. Yeah, the Walking Calamity Bear build has been doing that to me this league, where it just flies everywhere, flashing in my face. But it's been good fun. It's been good fun thus far. Prada, I have to call you out immediately, because when you sent me over your profile picture, I had no idea that it was an anime girl and not the troll face. Is it actually this picture?
It's
your
princess.
Profile picture?
Look at that. Yeah.
I can't. Is this a specific person?
If your
no.
vision's bad, you can't tell. It's kind of the same. If you lean back far enough.
It's true. It's true. I'm looking straight at it right now. And if I have your YouTube channel open as well. Literally is the troll face. No difference. I always thought it was the troll face. Which is why, Prada, before we get into 0.4, I first saw your videos. And I thought it was like... ironic, trolly, like engagement. And then I listened for like a minute and then 3 minutes and then 10 minutes. And I was like, this guy's spitting fire. He's actually serious. This is good. I wish everybody had this perspective. So am I alone in that? Or do a lot of people think that, you know, some of your earlier videos, like I think it was called Why You're Not Having Fun in Pee-wee 2 or something like that. I can't recall what the initial video
was.
The
original one was You Are Bad, But It's Okay.
You Are Bad, But It's Okay. That is the one. And I thought it was a troll video, but I don't think it was unless you've been, you know.
No, no.
This is a long con.
There's definitely a way to make a point and keep it entertaining and, like, throw some jabs out there, but there's nothing wrong with being bad at video games. I think there's, like, this stigma that if you're not the greatest of all time, then you're wasting your time. And we kind of just try to shatter that. Not everybody can be the best. Not everybody can be the best blaster. You know, kind of just got to do your thing. And the video game's supposed to be fun inherently. But
Right. Video games, I mean, they are, 99.9% of people, ways to just chill and enjoy yourself. You're supposed to have fun playing them. There are very
few
people.
Get off work.
Right.
Play for a couple hours. But... I mean, there's nothing wrong with pulling up to the game and trying your hardest, right? Like, there's nothing lame about sweating or, you know, turning it into a second job. You can get home from work and lock in and be as efficient as possible, and that's cool too. But to expect to be able to compete with that when you're not trying and you're a casual gamer is, I don't know. Doesn't work in any other game.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to work in PoE 2, as we did see. This league, so I guess we can hop right into it, man. What is your take on just the entire debacle, the temple debacle, the snake debacle, whatever we're going to call it? I'm sure it's going to have a name in 2 years' time when people are typing about it on Reddit or on streams or whatever.
People will remember this.
They will
for
remember.
Sure.
So, what is your take on it? I don't actually know.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it because of how annoying it is to set up and the amount of ways you can brick it over and over. The campaign reset stuff was kind of, you know, obviously they got that out of there as quick as possible. But, I mean, the fact that most people had to reroll an entire character to reset their temple because they were told that they needed to do that to set the temple up as efficiently as possible with that interlude reset. Yeah, obviously it's a printer. It's one of those things where the people that are watching it from the outside that didn't want to do the, you know, 15-20 hour grind of temple setup or more, it's probably doesn't feel very good to just watch people print. But that's the nature of these games, right? If there's something like that and it's available to everybody and you need a character that's just this threshold of good, you might as well blast it while you can, especially if you think it's going to go.
Did you participate?
It's either, I didn't. I was doing the Atzeri farm. I was just trying to drop. Oh. There's like a single unique you can drop from her that's pretty good if you get a double corrupt, but
yeah.
It's like two mirrors if you get the slam.
Oh, sick.
So we went for that the whole time, but yeah, I honestly just didn't feel like setting it up. It just did not look fun.
Right. Yeah, it didn't appeal to me. Obviously, it didn't appeal to me at all. It just looked like highly repetitive and obviously a patchable thing. Honestly, like,
yeah,
something like that. It's, I know it's existed in games like Path of Exile or like Diablo 2 for a long time, but in a modern game like this, that obviously was something that the developers were like, oh my god, we're gonna get back,
yeah,
from
that
holidays,
was terrifying.
We're gonna fix this. So
there are also like, there are other farms in the game that are just less fun, less entertaining, that are really profitable. Like Trial of Chaos, the whole time that was going was insane. Like if you were farming for Adorned, it's selling. I sold one for 170 div, 2 days later sold another for 370. Like,
wow.
There's always something in the game that's grossly profitable. Omens were up like 3x the price that they were before the farm because nobody was playing maps anymore.
Yeah.
Like there were some things that were pretty crazy, but.
That's an interesting thing about this game and this, you know, current audience. It's I put out a video a few days ago talking about, oh, you know, if you don't want to do temple, you can do these really basic things. And the response to a lot of it, because my audience, I don't think, are the grinders.
Exotic,
they're not
gifts.
I got to turn off my notifications. They're not actually trying to get currency. They're just playing the game for fun, a lot like I usually do. But I think a lot of people don't understand the fun for a lot of people in PvE2, especially the ones really active online, is the div per hour strategy. And I feel like something takes hold when there's something that gets so popularized as the Holton and temple printing exploit, where everyone kind of puts on blinders and they think that's the only thing they can do in the game, or they are going to fall behind. And the temple in its initial state after it was buffed, I think that's 100% true, and that's why they nerfed it, you know, by a good degree.
Yep.
Right now, that's not the case at all, but a lot of people still have that residual, like, if you're not
doing
the temple.
It's a mode of thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. You, people choose to think that way. There's so many ways to make currency in the game that are, it doesn't need to be, you know, 70% as good, 80% as good as the best farm in the game. Like, Trial of Sekhmis, since this game was released, has been a money glitch.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't care that somebody is out there printing currency in Trial of Sekhmis because it's boring, and they're like above that in their head. They don't want to run it because it's boring, so they don't care that somebody else is running it and making a killing because it's boring, and they're above it. So there's always something in the game going on that's just printing money. People are above crafting in their hideout. They don't want to craft. They don't want a hideout warrior. Like, nothing will ever be competitive with sitting in your hideout and buying items for cheap and selling them for more. Like, if all you cared about was currency and you didn't want to interact with the game whatsoever, nobody is stopping you from kicking it in the hideout with the best build of all time. Like, you can't. Nothing is better than Hideout Warrior.
100%.
Just sit there, make a billion div.
My brother has recently learned that. He started doing Omen of Putrefaction on Timeless Jewels and flipping them. He's,
and their roll ranges aren't that crazy, so you just print.
Yep, exactly. So he also, I don't know if I should share this or not, my brother was being a little dirty with his belt flipping as well. He made a mistake wherein he bought belts that were too low level to chance into a headhunter. So he would put,
sell them for 40x or whatever they go for now.
He would put one that was correct, and
we
he
call
would
those
put
landmines.
Yeah, and he put land. Dude, he was screaming. I was like, bro, you can't do this. You can't. He's like, I just
so
gotta
funny.
Do it once, just to see if someone falls for it, dude. Instantly,
placing bombs.
Instantly,
yeah, minesweeper.
I could not believe it. I could not believe, because I always read everything, but people, they don't read, and they. You made a killing.
It was bad last league before they like put in a system to change it, where people were doing Trial of Chaoses for one exalt, and then they would do one div for a random one. And then it was like, instead of doing a div, they would do a perfect exalt because it looked similar to an exalt when you hovered over it. So luckily, I think very few people weren't just immediately going liquid whenever they got a perfect X, like they just turn it into a different currency, but getting got like that is agonizing.
Oh, 100%.
Somebody catches you for 10 div or something, like, it's brutal. But I think there's a, I haven't seen the prompt, but I'm pretty sure there's a prompt now that tells you if you're about to get got.
Yeah, so they must have just ignored it or something? I don't know. Interesting stuff.
Maybe because it's the same item, but I don't know. I have no idea.
Oh, dude, you might be right. It's because it's a bunch of different items, because he was doing the Omen of the Ancient strat, where you can chance orb non-heavy belts into Headhunter. Right, yeah, exactly. So maybe that might be it, because there are a whole bunch of different base types. Oh, those poor people. Well, maybe they figured out the strategy just like him, and they made a little bit of a profit, too. Now, you've mentioned a few farms that are even more boring than like some people see setting up the Atzeri's temple, such as like Temple of Chaos. Do you have any favorite farms that you ever done? Ones that are legitimately fun that you really liked, despite it
being
profitable too?
I had like a, there was an angle that I would take every league where it's like, all right, I need this much currency to get this character online. I make my characters that I'm going to league start with in the previous league, like, because I play the entire league. I don't take a day off. Like, I've streamed every day since, like, February or something.
Wow.
So I'll, like, figure out what the cheapest I can get a character online for, like, previous league, what kind of items I'm looking for. And usually I'll run some Trial of Chaos early, just because maps are iffy before you get your Atlas done. Like, the likelihood that you're printing really early before you can, like, start a low-rarity farm, negative-rarity Venters farm, it's not the greatest. So sometimes I just run TOC, try to get enough currency to get whatever gear I need, and then it used to be just immediately going to SEC, but that got pretty boring. I probably killed that boss like 800, 1200 times, something ridiculous. And I would always corner Simulacrum, but this league, it's not as profitable, because people don't need the emotions for their maps anymore to instill their maps. So this was the first league where I couldn't just, like, make a character strong enough to do T3 sim and just blast it all day.
Okay.
But, yeah, we did TOC again, and then we did negative rarity. That was this league's printer.
All right.
We're still doing negative rarity. It's really, really broken, and anyone can do it on any character.
Negative rarity, you're fishing for really good base types, right? Exceptionals and
all
the
you do is drop. And honestly, it's not even the exceptionals as much as it is just between eye level 80, eye level 82 items. You slam them until you get all the martial weapons increase fizz is like a div at least. And
oh wow,
you're only putting between, earlier in league it was like 5 exalt per try per white item you'd grab off the ground, throw 5 exalt into it. You can make between, worst case scenario, like 35x, 45x. Best case scenario, you get like an obliterator with T1 crit, T2 fizz. And it's like 28 div or something on day 3. We sold one for 28.
Wow.
And there's like a lot of different builds now. So all the talismans sell, all the wands sell. It's all pretty good.
See, that's something, what you're saying, it sounds so simple, but people just need to have that knowledge, you know? And once they have that knowledge, oh my gosh, that's like...
It's the filter. If you don't have it in your filter, you're just running over hundreds of div.
Dude, that's insane. Do you have a custom filter that like you made?
I do, and it's anyone can use it, yeah. It's like a psyop. Rarity is like a complete psyop in this game. Everybody thinks that they need it, and they're not going to print if they don't have it. Mm. But you can actually do the temple with negative rarity and base farm in there, and it's disgusting, too, because there's so much quant.
Okay. Okay. And there are so many things I want to ask you. Okay, first... You mentioned you've streamed every day since February. What is your PoE2 journey, man? What happened here? How did that begin? I need to know.
Do you want to know why I made my first video?
Yes.
Like why? Okay. So
I remember listening to it on the toilet.
Prior to streaming, I was just a nerd. I just blasted the game because I enjoyed it. I was good at like previous games. I played FPS games. I was pretty solid at those, and I just played those because I liked the self-improvement element. Just made like Apex highlight videos, just regular stuff, and kind of gave me a motive to play, just something, throw some videos together, put a song behind it. And I was just a nerd, and I met some friends, funny enough, in Deadlock of all games.
Really?
And PoE came out, blasting PoE. I see that my friend from Deadlock gets on Steam and he's playing PoE too, and I'm like, hold on, Yante plays PoE too. I hit him up, first ever ARPG he's ever played, and he's following just the most random build ever. And I'm like, I don't know, is this going to be able to make it to maps? I don't know. Like, the guide he's following is a little iffy, a little shaky.
Yeah.
And basically, he gets to a point where he can't progress his character anymore. He kind of got baited by... The term tourist used to mean something. It's got, like, it used to have super negative connotation. Now it's meaningless. It's lost all of its hit.
It is.
Yeah. But, yeah, he got baited by somebody that doesn't really play the game into following a build, wasted all his time, wasted all his currency. And I was like, dude, I've got like 800 hours at this stage of the game. I could just drop a video and just save lives. So I dropped that first video and it hit super algorithm. And everyone in the comments was like, bro, you got to stream. And here we are. Since then, streamed every day.
So shout out to was it Yante or Dante?
Yeah, Yante.
Let's go. Wow, okay. So you already had, at that point, a lot of time in PoE 2. Had you played PoE 1 or other ARPGs, or did you hop into PoE 2 as your first?
I was definitely a casual in PoE 1, but I played, like, before leagues were in the game. Like, the Crip clip, okay. If you've ever seen the Crip Rip clip, that got me to get the game. I had this terrible Toshiba laptop. All I could play was, like, PoE, barely, and I was on, like, 15 FPS the whole time. And Counter-Strike. Everything else would not run. Like, but it wasn't like I was playing every single league every single time. I was like a play for 2 weeks, quit, try to get my friends to play. Gamer. Okay. That was in like the Skype era.
Yep.
But
that sounds accurate.
Yeah, it's simpler times.
2011, 2012.
But I haven't played PoE 1 since Crucible League, so I've missed a bunch.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was like 2022, I think, around that.
Yeah, we were Apexing during that time.
Okay. All right. And then you refound it with PoE 2, just started blasting, having a good time, I presume. 800 hours. Dude.
All the Apex. Yeah, and that was like almost only in Sekimus.
My God.
And
what?
Yeah. We started with a homebrew Ember Fusillade build. They bugged it in a random hotfix. Like, they changed how wild shards interacted with Fusillade. Okay. Bricked my build. I raged, played Spark. It pissed me off so bad. I was like, all right, like... They want to terrorize me like that. It's Spark time. I didn't like the projectile speed on Spark, so I made Widowhail Spark, which is a PoE 1 build, if you guys have ever seen that. It's really gross in that game. So we made a Widowhail Sparker in PoE 2, and it was absolutely disgusting. Just stat quiver bonus, level 40 Spark. It was crazy.
Wow. Okay.
Financed everything with Sek. Only Sekimus.
Trial of Sekima Farmer up to, you know, 800 hours. Okay, wow. So you know all the voice lines, all that stuff. You got it down pat at this point.
They're muted. We were a nerd nerd.
Okay.
I played with my game muted for the first 750 hours until I started streaming.
Oh my God, that's crazy. Yep. Okay. Your music choice is legendary, my friend. I remember I raided you a while back, and I thought you were playing PoE 2, but you were actually doing a song session. I think Unwritten was being blasted.
Oh, banger. Legit banger.
I thought I was going to bed, and I sat there for the next like 2 minutes and 40 seconds listening to you sing Unwritten.
Yep, any of that, Party in the USA, 1,000 Miles.
Is that a tradition for your ending of streams, or was that like a sub goal, or you just said, you know what, tonight we're singing some good mid-2000s songs? What happened there?
It started because I had an internet issue. My internet would go out at 7:30 p.m. every single day. So we made it like this goal. One day we're going to get through the song. I'd start the song at 7:26, 7:27, and we never completed the song for like months. And then one day the internet made it through. And this is so funny because I never get to talk about it because obviously the stream is shut off and it's not back on for like sometimes an hour. But the silence of like your internet going out mid singing at the top of your lungs and your whole chat is quiet. And the chat's not moving, your internet's turned off, your browser starts to time out, and you're just sitting there in silence by yourself. It was terrible, but one day the internet got fixed, we made it through the song, and that was how the tradition started.
Wow, it's a good one. It's a good one. I've never seen anybody do that, and it's so freaking entertaining.
You gotta make fun of yourself sometimes. You gotta look goofy on the internet.
Oh, 100%.
You gotta troll.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, do you put out any troll videos, Prada? I'm looking at your catalog. Like, do you like put out troll videos ever?
Like, I'll drop some lines in there that I know will make people mad.
Piss off.
Engagement farm just a little bit, but it's like I'm not actually trying to get on anybody's butt. Like, I really do not care how anyone else plays the game. I don't care how bad the economy is. Like, none of those things are factors. I don't do any crafting. I don't do like any hideout warrior related stuff. But I literally just gameplay blast. That's it.
So, how would you? What advice? Because you give great advice. You know, I think at the end of your stream the other day, you told everybody to go hug their family, and I once again I was like, holy wow! I've never heard any streamer say that. Oh my god, that's amazing advice, dude. Holy
crap. You got
it. What advice would you give to people? Because I know some of them are watching right now, who. I think a kind way to say it is kind of crashed out over the whole economy and basically said, well, the economy's ruined. I can't play the game because the economy is ruined. Like, do you think just in their mind, there's no playing anymore because an exploit occurred and it inflated everything? Or do you think there is a way that you can kind of shift your perspective so that if something like this happens, to a game that you're otherwise enjoying, and it will happen in the future, guys. PoE2, like it happens in PoE1 constantly. It's going to happen in PoE2. Do you have any advice for how people can just still enjoy the game, kind of like you do?
I mean, 1,000% believe that it's emotive thinking. I think if everybody had like a deeper knowledge of the game, of course they would find some farm that they enjoy. They wouldn't get stuck behind anyways. But if we just assume that everybody's a casual, right? And then we've got a handful of people that are on stream in front of you that are just printing Infinity Divine. And, you know, some people are so big, they have, like, legitimate market influence. It's not like they're going out of their way to, like, oh, I think this item's good. And then they're buying a bunch of it and reselling it to viewers or whatever. But, like, it's obvious that if you've got, you know, 10,000 viewers, you have a market advantage. Like, you can just say an item's good and watch it go to the moon.
Right.
But I think you can exist within the trade league, but you're like adjacent to it and not let feelings of falling behind creep in. You can humbly farm bases for dirt cheap, make a ton of currency. You don't need to do the temple. You don't need to do sec. You don't need to play anything you don't think is fun in order to finance a character. Like, there's so many ways to make currency in the game. It's just like, obviously I know of the ways, so it's really easy for me to say. But, like, there's plenty of content out there where people are like, hey, I ran 500 of this. It cost me this much. I walked away with this much. Keep in mind there's some variance. And you just got to seek out the information. Nobody's going to get rich doing nothing. You know what I mean? You have to, like, interact with the game. You also don't need the best character. And, like, there's nothing in the game that says you have to, like, have a perfect item. You follow a build guide. You can't have any dead stats on your stuff. Like, I've got personal friends that are not good at the game at all. They don't care how much currency some random streamer has. They play what they think is fun, irrespective of how much currency it makes. And, not everything has to be, like, the most optimal, best divine per hour farm of all time that's ever existed. And most characters don't need, you know, a lot of currency to do pinnacle content if you just know what mods are good.
Right. I do think that it's a prevailing view amongst my personal friends too, that I've been playing a lot with this league, or just chatting with a lot this league in Discord. They're like, oh, all this is ridiculous. This is funny. Okay, I don't care though. I'm just gonna play what I find fun. I'm still getting plenty of upgrades and everything. It seems like when I read or watch videos about people stuck in progress, it's like, what they're really stuck at is getting the best items in the game.
Yep.
Right? Like, I know people are like, well, Rakiata's flow is one great example. That inflated massively. That is, by the number, is that not the best support gem in the entire game? That's like the chase of chase items,
you're doing,
right?
Ellie.
If you're doing Ellie?
I mean, right? If you're a crit build, Garakhan's is pretty good.
Yep. That's the one my brother's going for. But like those items, of course you can have that goal of going for them, but it's going to be hard, right? And I think it will, I don't know. Last league, it was pretty easy. I feel like this league, it's quite a bit harder with the inflation, but sometimes I feel like items are kind of, they will be out of reach in some scenarios unless you get really lucky. And that's what creates a little bit of the mystique for those items in trade league, right?
That's the thing, is you can always farm it. Like Rakiatas and Garurikans are very funny examples of, like, I think
Find
both
the
of them
map.
are 1 in 6 drop rate.
Yes, find the
Find the
map.
map, find the map. You can literally run a white map on it. No mods, no pressure. The boss isn't going to be any harder than it needs to be. And you've got a 1 in 6 like anybody else. If people can get it in SSF, like every league, you know, there's nothing stopping you. You've obviously got a better character with access to trade. But the main thing is, like, if you're ever not confident in your ability to, like, stomp the game, all you have to do is press P, I, and G. And you've got this massive passive tree, an inventory full of gear, and a 5 support gems per item, right? Or per skill. And if you can't use those to figure it out, you gotta lock in, right?
Yeah.
Like, most of the character power in this game does not come from your tree. This isn't PoE1 with cluster jewels. Like, you just need gear. Prefixes. Most of the weapons in the game, if you're on the right side of the tree, you need like 2 prefixes and crit, and you're good to go.
Yep.
Everything else is like extra, and you upgrade it when you can. But once you've taken the pill of like, my reses need to be perfectly capped, some people overcap. I need rarity, and I need these 3 suffixes and these
Right.
3 prefixes. All of a sudden, you look at the price of that item, it's 25 div.
Yeah.
And it's like you drop one of the suffixes, you lower the tier of one of your prefixes, and it's 9. And I think if people had like a better understanding of the trade website, maybe there's like a major skill gap there. People set up live searches and get super nerdy and cringe with it. But like, if people just knew that none of these things were nearly as important as people say they are, then your character would be
Right.
online for a lot cheaper. But
Yeah. I wonder if that's the next big thing they can add to in-game trade as a pseudo price checker or just some way to help players understand this, because that's something that I learned this league. Because I honestly, this character I have is probably my most powerful in PoE2 thus far. And it was actually one of my friends who he, big fan of yours, by the way, Prada. He loves your
Let's
stuff.
go.
Yeah. He showed me, like, dude, you just do these little, like, you can sort by the scaling of the mod. If you, like, click on the mod in search, and oh, if you just edit out this, it'll probably drop by a few divine orbs. Very particular with trades, and he's able to find, like, I think, what was it, maybe 2 weeks ago, 900 DPS talismans for like 3 div. And I'm like, what the actual heck, man? That's crazy. Because my brother was looking at the same talismans, basically. They're not the same talismans, but like the same mods, but different tiers. And he's like, the next upgrade is 55 div. What are you talking about, dude? What's going on?
Like, if we're using like flat fizz, increased fizz, hybrid fizz as our example, right? Something like T2, T2, T2 might be worse than T1, T3, T3 if it's like the right assortment of stats and they're divved well. And a lot of these items are corrupted now, so like it's not like you're gonna go in and change them anyways. But dude, there are so many great items that are like a singular omen of light away from being insane. Or like a 1 in 3 gamble with the desecrate on your suffix away from being insane.
Right.
And you know, if you just gotta be mindful that you can search for items that don't have any desecrations on them that aren't corrupted, and there's like an entire market of items where maybe you need this scepter. And it's got reduced attribute requirements on it, and it's got like tier +4 fractured minion levels. And there's like a 50-50 between a good suffix and the dead stat, and it's like a 50-50 for 2 div that could make your item 50. Like, you're taking that any day of the week, right? You would run that over and over and over and over until you win and still make money, right?
Right.
But
This is all things I'm learning in this league, man. Honestly, like, it's opening up my eyes a little bit. So just minor crafting on your items and just knowing how to spot stuff can make you way more wealthy. It's
also
wild.
just gambling. Like, I know it's cliché, but you gotta take a risk. This is not real life, you know? What's the worst case
Right.
scenario? You gotta go run
Yeah.
another 3 maps or something to make your
Yeah.
currency back? Like,
Yeah.
you got nothing to lose.
Dude,
Your upside is almost always greater than, you know,
I have no balls,
incinerating the
dude. I've
5 div.
not vault a single item this league. No balls here, dude. My
I mean, the
friends,
age-old
I go
method.
for it.
You just you wait until you have an upgrade, and then you vol the old one, and sometimes the old one's better. And then if you win on the old one and it's better than your new one, then you have to vol the new one now. You get
Yeah.
2 corrupted items.
Yeah. I have so many items I could corrupt, dude. Maybe I'll go and do that because I do keep all my old upgrades in a tab. So I'll just go through, boom, 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 and I'll just go
Slam
and
them.
bottle them
Oh
all.
yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully that goes well. We'll see. We'll see. Okay, Prada, another thing that I've seen a lot in my own comments, when, you know, every time I say, oh, yeah, I'm going to talk to Prada soon, or I watch this Prada video, blah, 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 people are like, try, you and Prada seem to have almost the same views, just Prada's like so direct, he trolls sometimes, you know, sometimes he cusses, he's just like super real, where you're kind of like buttoned up and like very professional. It's so fascinating to see. So I don't know if you watch any of my videos, I don't know if you know like my opinions on the game, but would you say that's accurate? Like, are we both just genuinely kind of positive?
I'm tapped
just,
in oh, I haven't seen in. Every single one, but I no listened way. I listened to the Connor one. The Connor one was sick. Yep. That was a great one. I like the Rax one.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The only thing I really harp on and am like have a negative outlook on is just people complaining. Like, I feel like outside of that, I think the community is great. I think we all want the game to be good. I think everybody has a different idea of what a good game looks like, and we might argue, you know, on that front till the sun comes up. But for the most part, I think all of us want this game to be good. I think people want this game to have elements from the previous game that they thought were great, just ported over directly one-to-one. I think people enjoy that this game is a little more difficult. Not in the sense that, like, how do I explain this? Your character in PoE1 is stronger early if you know what you're doing. If you've got 10 years in that game, you can't make a bad character. Like, and in that game, it's a little different too, because you make a character specific for the content you're running. And in right. this game, you make a character that can do everything, and it's like easy. Like, that element is definitely easy, but I think that people like, I think the campaign is well received from casuals and everybody. And when they made it a little bit harder, people, you know, 0.2, that was funny. if you tried to make a homebrew, if you tried to play Minions in 0.2, you probably uninstalled the game, but
yeah.
I don't know. It's weird because there's this like balancing act that the devs have to do. They've learned over the years that like, if you just nerf a skill directly, people cry. Like, the first thing people do when the patch notes come out, control F, type in their favorite skill. They've got their league starter. They know what they want to play. They see that Lightning Arrow gets axed. They're going crazy, right?
Right.
But now that with all these new support gems and like the ranges on them can just be adjusted to whatever, they can drop the proj on proj speed 3, you know, down the multiplier from 1.4 to 1.2. And it would like directly nerf a ton of characters, but it's not as bad as watching Spark lose literal damage on the gem, right?
Yeah.
And I think they're cognizant of that. And now they can safely balance the game and do the whack-a-mole of like, oh, OP build, whack-a-mole, and then a new one pops up. And it doesn't receive, you know, as much of an outrage at the beginning. Because if you've listened to what other people have to say when those patch notes come out, it's just a doom fest. Not even going to play this league. It's terrible. Read the patch notes. Chat, what do we think of this? Yeah, screw this. Like, very circular. Like,
I don't get it, man. I just don't get it. I don't know.
I mean, we use the B word a lot. It's just incessant B wording. I don't know if I'm allowed to drop that on
cuss.
Here, but
no, you can cuss. Go
yeah,
it,
it's yeah. just bitching. It's just gamer right. bitching. That's right. all it is.
Right. Okay. So I did bitch a little bit this league. I will be fair. I got filtered by some RNG, and I quit for a whole week, dude. And I had like a little bit of a mindset shift. I came back, and now I'm like addicted, and it's bad. I'm pulling what you said. I come in here, I turn off all the lights, and I just have the light of my monitor lighting up this room. And I had some
monitor
2 a.m. days. Monitor 10. I'm a little tan right now. I had some like 2 a.m., 2:30 a.m. days where my wife would like stumble in, and she'd be like, are you coming? What are you doing? What's going on? I'm like, I'm fighting at Ziri. I'm literally at Ziri right now. It's so cool. It got me. I wonder if some people might benefit from a little bit of a break. Absence makes the heart grow fonder, you know?
Oh yeah.
So the whole, the virtue signaling of the chat. Do we even play this league? Chat, crap league?
Is this even worth downloading? Just uninstall the game right now.
I update? I can open up room my SSD for, I don't know, what game? Megabonk. There you go.
I mean, that doesn't mean that you need to be, like, you know, supremely positive the entire time. You can have valid criticisms of the game. But, like, imagine a world where people would, like, suggest solutions. Obviously, as, like, a streamer or something, it's not your job. Like, somebody is getting paid to do this, right? And when you're asked a question about, do you think this league is good or bad? and you're emotional, the first thing you're going to say is this dog shit. And that's just how the internet works now, where it's just like,
right.
It's not even the internet. It's kind of real life.
It's real life.
Everything
dude.
Is super extreme and absolute. And it's either a perfect league or it's dog shit. And there's nothing in between.
There's,
as far as like describing it goes, right?
There's no nuance, man. There's no nuance. Yep. And people get so mad when I point that out, you know?
And
you're right. It's in real
on
life.
A video
too.
That says, this league's all right. They're clicking on the video where
yes.
the face on the thumbnail is like crying, screaming,
right.
smiling. You
or
know
it's a
mean?
Goblin. I see
yeah.
you're a goblin fan.
Yeah. Banger, banger.
What a skin, man.
But
no, you're right.
You can be critical of the game. You can do your clip farms. But like ultimately, I think I hate the term influencer because it's like we're playing a video game. But
right.
You definitely got to be responsible with your brand. And if you're at the stage where like you're a big enough streamer, somebody's in your chat like debating on whether or not they should buy the game for the first time. And you're like a lifelong ARPG blaster, and you're in this person's ear that's just like, would have a great time. Probably the best $30 he's ever going to spend on a video game
yeah.
is PoE 2 if he just like buys the game and plays it. And
mm-hmm.
if he doesn't interact with content and just does his own thing, he'll have a blast. The blind playthrough is undefeated.
That's the way.
But somebody pulls up to a chat, somebody's malding after reading patch notes, you know, day before League drops, 2 days before League drops. And you're like incentivizing people to not purchase the game, not play the game. And it's just like, you can get 400 hours out of this game easily as a casual. Easily.
Oh, yeah.
And not think anything negative about the game. You can be hard stuck in the campaign every league. And, you know, it's not doomsday. But the second you watch people start blasting, you start comparing yourself to that. You look at your character and then you look at their screen. And those feelings set in of like, why right. am I playing? And it's doom shit. It's all doom, doom, doom. But nobody says it has to be that way, right?
No, no.
Make your own character.
Fight against
it. No expectation.
That's why I love your videos. You fight against it. Your videos you apologize for. It's going to be a bit of a yap session. It's going to, you know, it's
yeah.
fine. That's totally fine. It's good.
There's also like a huge theme in these games of like, there's like a fear mongering that goes on. This is more so true in PoE 1 than 2, but like in this game, you do not need to follow a build guide. You
oh.
can make it to T15 on a legit burger character. And if you don't look at what anyone else is doing, you wouldn't even know that your character is bad. It's not that difficult. We try to encourage people to make their own stuff, but there's like a fear mongering of like, oh, you're a first time player? Just follow this player, this player, this player.
Total crap.
Pick which build you. Yeah, and it's like. The ARPG fantasy is lost. If you're like, you know, the kind of guy that wants to play barbarian in Diablo, and you see warrior in this game, and then somebody tells you, oh, don't even bother, you've got to play lightning arrow in 0.3. Like, you have no choice. You got to use a bow and arrow. You got to play this character this way. And it's like, you've lost your fun. Your fun factor is like, you thought the invoker was sick and you want to play monk, and somebody told you quarterstaff skills are bad. So you don't play the monk. Someone said, don't even bother with Hollow Pond, play Poison Burst.
It like,
it's like...
Yeah, it kills
yeah.
the bright in their eyes. Like, the curiosity's gone. I hate that. I totally agree with
yep.
you.
And then they burn out.
Yes, yes. This game, I am living proof. I'm about to, like, I think, maybe tonight, kill Uber Arbiter with a self-made build. I have been playing a long time, but I'm not, like, a mathematician. I do not use POB. I just make my own thing in-game. Dude, this game, you can do that. And people should encourage
yep.
others to do that and not push them to video ads. I know, you know.
It's fear-mongering.
It is.
It's all fear-mongering. Oh, dude, you're going to get destroyed. Don't even bother. Just play this. And it's like, you can literally make a character in this game off of vibes. You don't even need your first five characters, you don't even need to touch POB.
Yep.
You look at the support gems and pick the first three that sound good before you get a perfect Jewel's Orb, and you're good to go.
Yep.
Like, it's not... Obviously, some builds... Some skills inherently are stronger than others. The synergies are more obvious to a new player. Like, stacking Fizz is straightforward, right? And then you look at a gem like Heft, and you're like, well, I only do Fizz, so this looks good. But it's like, there's nothing stopping you from giving it a shot. Your fifth character is going to be better than your first, and your tenth character is going to be better than your fifth. And if you never start making your own build, you lose. Like, that's like half the game to me.
Yep.
Half the game to me is like, I have this idea of what skill I want to use. It looks fun. I want to use this for hours. I figure out what the best way to do it is. When you really care and you're in a position where you're like sharing your builds with others, you owe them a good character. Like, I'm not uploading a video on a character that I wouldn't recommend to people.
Right.
So, like, obviously I'm playing by different rules here. For you and what you're playing, you're not responsible to anybody. You just play whatever you think looks cool. That's all you have to do. And it will be more fun that way. You will have more fun playing a worse character than something super bis meta perfect. And you have to compete with 10,000 different people for this bow and this quiver. And you could have just played what you thought was sick. You could have just rocked whatever ascendancy you thought was cool, whatever weapons you thought were cool, whatever skill you thought was cool. And who cares if you're less efficient?
Yeah, that's...
The game isn't, like, taxing you at the end of the, you know, play session. Like, oh, you didn't make your 10 div today. You can't play anymore. Like, literally does not matter. Do whatever you want.
Focus on fun. Don't listen to what others tell you is fun. Seriously.
I mean, isn't it crazy that in this video game that is so popular, there's, like, an issue of people, like, not having fun, and the entire game is about playing however you want to play? It's like if somebody said, how is Grand Theft Auto 5 any fun? Like, what are you talking about, dude? You do whatever you want in the video game. You can play this game 50,000 different ways, any character you want, any... The weapons can be used on any character. You can use a quarterstaff on... an oracle. I don't know if it's any good. I haven't tried to do it. But you can use a bow on the whole right side of the tree. You can play Abyssal Lich and use a spear. Like, there's nothing stopping you from getting creative with your build making.
It's like the whole competitive gaming culture. Like, everybody feels like they need to compete. I think that we said this at the beginning. To be the best. They think they can be the best and they need to compete to be the best. And if they're not the best or in the running to be the best, then why even play?
We dropped an entire video on that premise. Like, the most important thing you can do for your fun factor is just, like, be honest with yourself and identify what kind of player you are. Mm-hmm. Not what kind of player you want to be in the future.
Yes.
Like, what are you right now? Are you a casual? Like, the example I give pretty often is, like, we all have a friend that plays FPS games that swears he's competitive and he wants to win in ranked and climb, and all he does is not use his mic, blame his teammates, accuse the enemy team of cheating or smurfing, and it's like a coping mechanism to not... Like, obviously that guy's not competitive. If you want to climb, you'll climb. You'll record your VODs, you'll look over what you're doing wrong. This game is no different. Obviously you'd use different tools to do that, but it's like, you've got how many YouTube videos to improve at the game, you've got how many build guides that you can look at and take ideas from, you've got PoE2 Ninja. You can look at what's valuable on the trade website and figure out what people are using. Like, there's like 50 billion resources to improve, and maybe you're not that kind of player. Maybe you don't want to get better. Maybe you don't want to be more knowledgeable. And guess what? The game isn't all that difficult if you just apply yourself, right?
Yeah.
You only need to know so much. You, like, there's some people that have only played Warrior since this game came out. They know everything about that side of the tree. And every league, they're going to make a Warrior, irrespective of buffs or nerfs. And they're going to stack life, irrespective of buffs or nerfs. And they're having a blast. And they're not complaining. It's like, if you're being pulled in 55 directions, and you're being told you need to play all these characters that you're not necessarily interested in, and you got to play this content that you're not necessarily interested in, now you're playing Sekhmis on a Ranger, or you're farming for a Temporalis on a character you don't even want to play.
Oh.
And it's like,
stop. You're making
me depressed.
Of course
you're not having any fun. Of course you're not having any fun.
Oh, dude. No, you're making me sad because I think a lot of people do
feel that
way. None
of the thinking was done. Yeah, none of you didn't do any of the thinking for yourself. You're playing the game how somebody else told you to play. And they didn't buy the $30 game for you.
Yep.
You spent $30 on a game to be told how to play it. And no wonder you're not having the time of your life.
Yep. Dude, you're so right. I remember vividly when PoE2 launched back in December. Like, the hype was unreal. So many players, you know, everybody was watching streams and everything. And I remember as the queues opened, I told everybody, all right, thanks for watching. Get the heck out. I'm going to be live for drops, but do not watch my stream. The best thing you can do is leave Twitch. Okay, go put Twitch on your phone, but do not watch my stream. Go in blind, play it yourself, have a blast, go through the campaign, go into endgame, progress yourself, follow no build guides, don't look at Reddit, don't look at our Discord,
yeah.
Just play the game for yourself. Your experience will be 100 times better. And I think I lost like 30% of my viewers at that point, but I was like, let's freaking go. That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
That is how I would play, 100%.
Obviously, the game could do a much, much better job at explaining like certain things, right?
Yeah.
Support gems are a big one. Whenever I'm looking at viewer builds, the two things that are just effortless to pick apart and say, okay, this is just not operational. Like, this doesn't work with what you're trying to accomplish is the tree and the support gems. Like, everybody knows how to get good gear. You know what a better weapon than the one you have looks like. You know that these boots with 35 move speed are better than these boots with 15. Like, it's straightforward. There's only 6 mods on each of these items, right?
Right.
But the tree is, like, the place where everything's inefficient. People have, like, improper pathing, and there's just, like, you can literally pull water from stone in that tree. And yeah. The same can be said of the support gems. Some people are using support gems that don't even do anything, and they just forget about them and never check them. And that's, like, 50% of the player base. Is, like, right. They're using supports that are literally not doing anything with their skill, and you're losing, like, insane character. Your support gems can, like, 2.5x your damage on certain characters.
Yes. Easily.
In accordance with your tree, right?
Yep. Yeah, I think that's just that's one of the things that I'm currently a little disappointed with PoE 2, was that they did have that opportunity from PoE 1 to make sure that everything is clearly explained in game, so you don't have to rely on external resources. And while obviously it's better, like, I mean, they showcase the gems in game, you have your glossary system, all that is great. You can see what changes occur when you allocate a node on the tree. Cool, cool, cool. But yeah, you're right. The gems still aren't, you know, accurately saying what they do. There are some, like, hourglass support, I don't think works on Walking Calamity, even though it says it does.
Yeah.
There are all these odd interactions that people won't realize or understand. Crafting is another one. We've talked about how if you understand, like, what bones do and what suffixes and prefixes are and what mods are in each pool, you can make great items easily. But I think a lot of people just don't even have that level of knowledge, unfortunately, because it's not really in game unless you memorize it, right? You know.
Ultimately, the item doesn't even need to be great. It just needs to be better than what you have. And if you're like the type of player that thinks you need the best gear in the game and your character is trash right now because you don't have it, then guess what? You have the easiest upgrade path ever. You look at your worst gear slot and you have to improve an item that you say is terrible, right? So it's like, instead of going out and buying the item for 50 div, you can do the math on, like, this is what the currency costs to try to gamble on these that are one mod away from that. And you can EV it that way and save a ton of currency. But yeah, and also there's, like, this, as far as, like, character building goes, there's this, like, crazy fixation with the tooltip. The tooltip does everything that it's supposed to do, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there are interactions in the tooltip that don't reflect in the number because they're conditional. For example, you're running CI, you've got a companion, and minion pack 2 doesn't reflect as a 1.35x multiplier on your tooltip because it's conditional in the event that you have a companion, in the event that you can subtract whatever life you have from it, then you'll get the multiplicative damage. It's in the blue lines, but it's not in the number. And somebody sockets that, they watch the number not go up, and then they put in something suboptimal. And it's like, it's also not telling you any of the interactions with the monsters because the monsters are their own thing and your character is its own thing. So it's like, it's a tool tip. Like, this is generally what kind of damage you're going to be dealing. Then you throw it in POB and you find out you're doing 5 times that damage because Twister doesn't benefit from tooltip for 4 of its support gems. It doesn't do the math on that you're standing within 3 whirling slash spears or circles, whatever, and you picked up a lightning infusion off the ground. None of those things are reflected in it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, certain skills suffer really bad from that, where people look at somebody with mirror tier gear and then they look at theirs and it's like, your characters are actually only 20% damage difference apart. You just can't tell because the tooltip number, obviously it scales really hard the more stuff you have, but it's a complete scam. And that doesn't mean that you should never use it, but like something like skill effect duration might be way more damage for your skill than something that gives you, you know, a 1.25x multiplier on Ellie. You never know.
Yeah.
You got to go check, but
yep. That's something that just a big upgrade with my character this league was swapping to the Arbiter gloves, and it made no real tooltip difference between, like, I lost DPS from swapping from other gloves, which had like attack on them and everything, and attack speed, blah, blah, blah. But the difference is so substantial because it relies on just getting that stun 2 times faster and then dealing 23% more damage. It's crazy. It's crazy. There's just all these interactions that people, it's absent from their minds, right?
Yeah,
or
like
they just don't know.
The gem you mentioned earlier, like Rocky out of slow, doesn't reflect in your tooltip
at
all.
No, it doesn't.
And then you go check in POB and it's Thanos OP. It's like,
right. Dude, I sold that last
week. People are using it.
I was on an ice strike hollow palm technique and I sold Rocky on his flow because it didn't change the tooltip, dude. Oh my god, so bad. Then I went and tried to kill, you know, T3 bosses, and I was like, man, why am I not doing enough damage?
Yeah, if only I had a way to one-shot Zest right now.
Literally, dude, you know? Yeah. So, ugh, disastrous. Okay, you've put out a lot of builds, Prada. I'm curious, worst build you've played. Do you have one that tops the charts?
Worst build I've played that I made, or worst build I've played that was somebody else's idea?
Ooh, that's such a good question. I want to hear your worst
build. Because
I'll
put a build on blast. I don't care.
Let's do both. Your worst build and then someone else's worst build. I want a name and shame. Build,
okay, let's just start this with the context of, like, I'm making characters to recommend them to people to share my ideas. I will never put out a build that I'm not confident in because I know what it's like. I've got friends that have gotten owned listening to what somebody has to say about it. Like, I'll tell you that this character is going to cost you at least this much currency. Right. And retroactively, you can watch a video from a month ago and I said 30 div and it's not 30 div anymore. But, like, obviously that gets timestamped in the video. There's nothing I can do about that. Okay. But I played a Essence Drain Contagion Abyssal Lich with a Bone Shatter weapon swap to move really fast. So we were moving with attack speed. And I'm like, all right, I want to get this clear insane. So first thing I did, Palm of the Dreamer. Palm of the Dreamer, because it's a character buff, is only active when you're in the weapon slot that has Palm of the Dreamer. So when I would swap to Bone Shatter, which is a single-handed mace that benefits from a keystone, bottom right corner, it's Dance with Death, all of a sudden I don't have my Gloom Shrine effect from the Palm of the Dreamer. And that made me so mad because I had this character moving like so fast, but because Essence Drain was a dot, the monsters don't die instantly, so you would send out the Essence Drain and the dot would start killing the monster, and you would think, all right, Palm of the Dreamer is going to blow up my entire screen in a second. The second you weapon swap, you lose your Gloom Shrine, so you don't get the detonation. That interaction made me so mad, and then I was like, all right, I'm just going to use the Palm of the Dreamer on both weapon sets. I'm going to lock it in and I'm just going to deal with being slower. Every day, malding. And then I go run a simulacrum and I find out that the Palm of the Dreamer doesn't even work against the delirious monsters. And I had a feeling that it wasn't working with them. The character was a super blaster, by the way. It just, like, that interaction, disgusting, made me so mad. And I'm like, yeah, I guess the simulacrum mobs don't work in here, whatever. Go run a sim, it doesn't. And I'm like, okay, Essence Drain is the worst skill of all like, this is terrible. I'm not running a Blasphemy setup to get them to detonate because I'm using Abyssal Lich with Prod Speed and AoE. And yeah, that character, disgusting. Damn. Lightning Spear, not a fan. Outside of that, least favorite I've ever played that was someone else's idea.
Yeah.
I think before Spark Blood Mage had like Temp in it, Temporalis, I played like a viewer quit League, gave me his gear, told me to roll into the character, already had one, said, all right, whatever. That build, hated it, too slow, not tanky enough. In stat stacker in 0.1, compared to the character I was playing before that, just felt terrible. Okay. That also used attack speed to move. It used Tempest Flurry.
Yep, I remember.
A lot of people like that character, but I was on a Temporalis with a Widowhail Spark. Like, that shit was terrible compared to that. But outside of that, now I just know not to roll into something that I'm not going to like. I took a risk with the Essence Drain. Everyone vouched for it and was like, the character's slow, you're going to hate it. And then I made it fast and I still hated it. So that's got to be my least favorite skill.
Okay. Essence Drain, hater.
I hate it.
Best build you've played in PoE2. What is it?
0.1, Temporalis, Widowhail Spark, 55 jewel slots, adorned at 100%. Not literally 55. It was like 13 or 14 or something.
Oh, God, I was like, I'm so confused right now.
Yeah,
did I play with you?
Quiver bonus emeralds on corrupted magic jewels, and they rolled to 15%, so you could double that. And we would run a Widow Hail with 300% on it, and our quiver was a penetrating quiver, so it had 100% pierce. And it had 46 projectile speed with +2 to projectile skills. So we had a level 40 spark with 800% pierce and like 450 projectile speed. Disgusting. And we're just temporal splinking everywhere. That is, it was like the only build that league that was moving as fast as Autobomber and killing everything. Like, it was gross.
That's pretty
and didn't
sick.
Use crit, which was kind of funny.
Yeah. Okay.
But
I'm looking at your page. Why no Druid build this league? What's going on? Why aren't you playing any Druid? What's happening? You don't like shapeshifting? Come on.
I have plans. Oh. I have Talisman plans, but I'm not going to play Druid.
Okay.
I'm going to try it on a different Ascendancy on a different side of the tree.
What Talisman? What's looking good to you? Any? Which form?
You mean like what shape?
Which form? Yeah, that's what. Yeah.
I was gonna do the wolf, and then somebody made one that was really good, and I was like, "All right, well, that was pretty much my idea with the ice herald of ice." I was gonna Abyssal Lich on the wolf and scale AOE really hard and get like crazy herald of ice pops that took up like the whole screen, but somebody made one that was pretty similar, so that idea I don't want to do it if somebody else already did it, so. I don't know. I got to figure it out. The Coming Calamity stuff turned out pretty good, right?
Like, yeah.
Walking
Calamity?
That was pretty... Walking Calamity. It's yeah,
sick.
Yeah, yeah.
It's sick.
The bear builds look pretty nuts, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, bear's maybe, fun.
I don't know what Wyvern's got going on. I mean, any of these characters, like, I feel like people don't play Wyvern just because it's the slowest one, right? Like,
All my friends are playing Wyvern. They're all because they can blow up bosses. I think they have trouble bossing.
Yeah,
Oil Barrage.
Yeah.
It's kind of it's disgusting. Oil Barrage the Flame Breath. It's crazy.
You could definitely do some Bone Shatter stuff on the Wyvern if you can just figure out like a good way to clear with it.
Mm.
I don't think that would be too impossible.
Yeah,
I'd have to relook at what the Wyvern skills got going on, but
the clear is rough on Wyvern. Honestly, I'm not a fan because
really
most of the time I see it, it's with the Flame Breath, and I'm like, ugh. That's not great.
Yeah, I'm not messing with the Flame Breath.
Yeah, I don't.
It looks cool.
If you didn't like Essence Drain, bro, you're not gonna like Flame Breath. That's a little slower. Okay, so is speed what you go for when you make builds? Is that like number one thing? Honestly, is that what?
I have like a priority in my head.
Okay.
First thing I think of is like, what skill am I trying to use for hundreds of hours? If I can't use the skill and I don't think the interaction is fun, like immediately not gonna play it or revisit it at a different time when something gets added, but all I think makes a good build, in my opinion, is like you can clear as fast as you can move, right?
Okay.
However fast that is up to you. Like, some characters aren't fast enough for people, whatever. To me, I like to move really quick. I just want to be able to clear as fast as I can move, and I don't want to die ever. I feel like if your character has triple digit deaths and you play this game for thousands of hours, you're doing something wrong.
Hey,
like,
hey.
If you're making your own builds and recommending them to people,
you
can't be triple digit deaths
on your
builds.
I'm at 1, 2, 3.
If you're releasing them to the public, like, there's got to be a way where you die, you know, not that often. So I'm stacking defenses, probably using more points in the tree than most people. But, yeah, I'm a big fan of CI. I try to get CI in everything I can just to save me some suffixes. But I like top. If you just cut the tree in half from the center, I like the right side of the tree. So I play casters, move to the right with the tree usually. Witch Hunter, move to the right with the tree usually.
Okay.
Big fan of crit. But, yeah, all my characters just happen to be fast because I know how to go fast. But I would play a slow character if it was, like, good at something else. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, the bear, I before I saw Cocaine Bear, I'd say it's slow, feels pretty good, but I've seen people with Rampage just zooming with the reverse chill tech. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that stuff is pretty gross.
It's crazy. You clear as fast as you move.
Yeah. You can take things like Bone Shatter, which are just inherently fast. All you need is a weapon swap, and also do the chill tech today. We were messing with that today, and you're just like twice as fast. You've got like something like 12 attacks per second, and you're just flying, but then you got to make a skill that can move as fast as you can move, or else you're moving quick and then stopping, moving quick and then stopping, moving quick and then stopping, right?
Okay, Prada, I always ask this POE2 question to everybody that comes on my pod. If you were, you know, imagine you have gray hair. Maybe you have gray hair. I don't know. You could have gray hair. We don't know. We have
born
no
in
idea.
2000, just gray haired out.
There you go. Okay. You got gray hair and you become the game director of POE2. What would you add to the game next patch? Could be something tiny, could be something huge. What's your dream?
This is a funny question because I get asked this a lot.
Oh, sick.
And this is like the first time in my life I've played a game where I'm like good enough at the game. I feel like I have opinions that are like, you know, worth something at least.
Sick.
And I'm like, these developers don't play that. Every other game I've ever played, I'm like, there's no way a developer played this, interacted with this in any capacity. I refuse to believe it. They gave this to the playtesters and the interns. Nothing's balanced. This is all corporate garbage trying to make as much money as possible. This is the first game I've ever played where I feel like they actually play their video game. And they're not just trying to milk you for as much money as they can. And, I'm just playing. Get Delve in the game. We need more difficult content. Single player mode. Something like, there is SSF in the game, but I like the D2 scale your party size for more XP and loot. If you've ever played Diablo 2, like, you're playing offline, you can just make it so that the game logic thinks that there's four players in your party. And, it just, like, makes the game infinitely more fun. You level a lot quicker. Like, I think things like that, where you could, like, scale a difficulty. There's no... You're not competing with anybody in SSF, right? Like,
yeah.
People like the badge of honor of, like, I played SSF. But you can play that way in Trade League, too, and just, like, buy the annoying items if you want. But, no, I genuinely do think we got a good set of devs, and they're not trying to bleed us for everything they can. And, honestly, like... The coolest thing to me was that they re-added Abyss, which was like backtracky in PoE1, and just made it goated in this. 0.3 was like, that's something I didn't even think of. They need to cook that way. Everyone's always talking about add this from this game. Like, I like content that scales with difficulty, and it's like, the better your character, the further you go, and there's, like, some sense of, like, progression going on there, like, forever, and you can just infinitely play that. Like, but let them cook new mechanics. Obviously, we're at this stage of the game where they're just throwing in, like, what they know people like already. But something new. I don't know how people felt about Breach, though. PoE1 Breach PoE1. Got a rework.
Well, I liked it, but I guess people didn't. I liked it because I could get really good items from the tree.
Yep. Week one, that was what I was hearing. Tree is goated. The walls suck. The
walls suck.
Tower defense part sucks.
Also
and
sucks.
It's like,
didn't like people, Blight.
Some people love it, though. Some people, Blight's their favorite content.
Oh,
they put
I know.
It on everything. They juice it every league.
Yeah.
But... I'm not a fan of things like Heist, but like, why not just throw it in? Like, how
yeah,
difficult?
A variety.
Just port it in.
Just
yeah,
a variety
we've
got of
King's
stuff.
March. Throw that in, boom, instantly. I think they've already hinted that these things are going to exist, right? Like, there's no way they don't add those. They worked on them so hard.
Oh yeah,
but
they
like,
have to.
Even if I wouldn't interact with it, just throw it in the game.
Yep.
I don't know how much dev time this is going to take, but get it in there. Take out all the annoying stuff that people don't like. Maybe some game mode that's similar to Delve, where it's like the floors descend, the further you go, the harder it gets. Like, I want a T10 simulacrum. Like, screw it. You don't even need to make the drops better. Just let me play it over and over
and over. Push your characters. That's one thing with the temple that I heard that you could push them pretty high. So they challenged your characters, which is cool. It added a little bit of aspirational content to the game.
They can stack effectiveness really hard, and the monsters have, like, insane health. Yeah.
Right.
And it. That reflects in quant too. That's why they're dropping so much stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. I like those. I like the aspirational content and just something new. I don't know if they'll do that until PoE2 is in 1.0, which will probably be like end of year, maybe next year, something like that.
I was gonna say, do we know how many 0.X's we're gonna get before release?
No, they keep saying until people are satisfied and the campaign's finished and. I don't know what they're... I tried to ask him once, you know, what is your definition of satisfaction? And he's just like, people have to be happy. And I'm like, all right, dude, let's do it. You know, okay.
I mean, dude, there's content in the game that, like, very few players are interacting with. Like, I don't know how many people are blasting Expedition outside of the fact that it's just good currency, right?
It's good currency, and it's good... I think, what is it? Uhtred's Omen is like crazy expensive. The boss farming the boss is like
Ulroth.
Ulroth. Yeah, people love that.
But he was neglected for the first however long. Like nobody was playing that. Everybody would rather play. You know, people don't want to go play logbooks because if you're in a logbook, that means you're not in a map. And when you're in a map, you get to do this content, and just
much
blast off cooldown.
Yeah, they need to make them a little bit more. I think more exciting. I get the variety, but I just feel like the logbooks especially lack that excitement factor. That
you don't like running around placing bombs?
No, making the one big bomb on maps made me like Expedition 10 times more. Just allocating that node in the tree. Oh.
Second Miss is not, or if you want to use PoE 1 as your example too, like Sanctum in general, like obviously that content isn't changing very much, but there's something in your brain when you're playing it where like you're optimizing and it's more so about doing this as fast as possible. And you're obviously only here for currency because like how fun can it be to kill this boss 600 times in a row? But like there's like a motive that's going on in your head where you're like, okay, I'm doing this like significantly faster than I was before. I'm getting these relics that make my movement speed this much quicker. I've got all these floors memorized, and there's like still some element of improvement that like keeps you going. But then there's content where it's like Trial of Chaos is notorious for just there's like multiple rooms that are just no matter how good your character is, you're stuck for a minute 20 in this room. No matter how fast your character is, this statue is only going to move at this speed. It doesn't matter if you kill everything faster. It doesn't matter how long you've been under the statue. Like, I think it should have some progressive scaling. Like, if you're under the statue for this long, it just starts moving faster and faster and faster. Even just like removing
I like
the
that.
animation where it drops to the floor. Like, why do we need it to pick back up to stay in this room, this hallway that's got 30 monsters in it? Like,
The
let
vibes.
it scale with endgame. Yeah,
The
make it way
vibes,
faster
man.
when you're in,
No.
you know, eye level 80 areas, right?
That's why I didn't like three or Keepers of the Flame, the league mechanic, because two out of the three of them were dependent on just wave-based combat. So you're just sitting there waiting, waiting,
Waiting.
waiting. You're not
AFK,
moving.
yeah.
The forward progress is big. I
You
like
could
the
play
movement.
Subway Surfers on your phone
Right. I
and
don't like
one button
that.
build while you play.
Right.
Like, yeah, it's not interactive.
That's exactly it. So I
And it's not
really
going to get any faster no matter
no.
how many times you play it.
No matter
Like,
how powerful you get, right?
yep. And
Right.
that's
So
not true of the content that people like. People want to
exactly.
blast maps. You can always improve your character. People want a boss kill. You can always kill the boss faster and
Yep.
optimize, optimize, optimize. And we're nerds, and that's what we do. And it's like, there are things in the game where you can't optimize it any better. Like, you can play Expedition and place better bombs, I guess, but
No,
like, once you
dude,
know which ones
no.
are bad,
No.
it's no real skill gap there. You just
Right.
don't click on the one that says monsters are immune to lightning damage when you're playing Spark, right?
That's an easy one. That's an easy one. Okay, Prada, I have some non-PoE2 questions, if you will
Let's
humor
get
me.
it. Yeah.
Let's get it. Okay, hell yeah, let's do this. Okay, favorite game in childhood. What was your favorite game, dude?
Favorite game in childhood.
Yeah, you said you were born in
Like how
2000.
what age are we talking here?
One to
Like
zero
before
to
I had
18.
internet?
0 to 18.
Okay. Modern Warfare 2. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, easy.
Okay.
Xbox
I was
360.
gonna ask.
That I don't think you can I think everybody that missed that era of gaming is like worse. Like I think you're all worse people. If you didn't play Modern Warfare 2, you missed out. That was like the game. You get on there, you get terrorized, you get screamed at, you get called words that you should never repeat, and you get off and you're like, yeah, but I was top frag though. Like, I had 12 kills in that S&D match. Like, you can't say shit to me. Check the scoreboard. I can't hear you down there. Like, you're getting DDoSed if you play too well. Like, it was perfect. Legit, perfect gaming environment. You're getting screamed at and hit offline if you're too good at the game. Can't beat it. You
Then,
can't beat it.
all right, dude, I want to make an admission to you that I did not
Never
play
played.
Modern
I
Warfare
knew you
2.
were gonna say
Dude,
it.
okay,
No.
my parents, okay, so here's the FPS issue with my parents. So they didn't let me play first-person shooters, except I played Black Ops on the Wii.
Oh no. Throw it out the window.
Dude,
Throw
you
it out
had
the
to point.
window.
You had to point to aim with the Wii pointer, dude, and you had your little joystick. I
That is
vividly
funny.
remember this. That was the only Call of Duty I was allowed to play while I was at my
Okay,
parents' house.
zombies though. Zombies in BO1 was
We
great.
played zombies. I remember playing zombies.
This is before I my first ever the, okay, I got internet in 2011. First time I owned my console. Before that, I was PlayStation 2 offline only gamer. Never got to play Star Wars Battlefront online. Never played a video game online. Got Black Ops 1. Was so excited to play with my friends. Was like, I got the Xbox Live card ready to go. And you're at that age where you just like don't conceptualize that you don't have internet in your apartment. And we had no internet. So I'm playing offline against bots in Nuketown and single player zombies until we get
Nuketown.
internet to play.
Let's
Like,
go.
but zombies is crazy. Trying to get round 20 when you're 11 years old, like, that's probably the most difficult thing you've done in your life up to that point.
My My friend in the chat just pointed out that I illegally played Combat Arms as well. Are you aware of that one? That was a PC game.
Combat Arms.
It was made by Nexon.
I didn't have a computer.
It was made by Nexon, dude. And I like illegally played it. And I think I said like my brother, oh, I'm going to kill you in this game. And the day after I said, my father heard me say it, uninstalled it from my computer. You know.
Yeah, I didn't have a mic for the longest time. I was sending messages to people to talk shit. I was typing out messages with a controller to talk
shit. Oh my God, dude. No way. Oh,
you're trash. Don't even go down to the space bar. You don't even need to add the space in there. U-R-T-R-A-S-H. Easy. Send it. Go. You hear him screaming his microphone and you're winning. Now you're in his head.
Massive troll right there. Okay. So that's a favorite game in your childhood. Now this I guess this question goes overall. What one game do you think everybody should try out one day that you've played? If you could boil it down to say, like, hey, this game, I would recommend this to all my friends. Do you have one?
I have easy answers, like,
yeah.
But I want to give one that's a little different. I was going to say Red Dead 2 campaign. I know that's like there's probably some multiplayer games you could throw out there. Things like Elden Ring, Sekiro, crazy, Witcher 3. But like if I could guarantee that you had like a good enough computer to run it and you didn't care about how buggy it was, bro, DayZ on a day one server and you're just spawning into Mollusk on the beach and you got to go run to town. That game, different. The fun you'll have in that game, there isn't another game like it. It's old. It used to be an Arma 2 mod. Now it's a standalone game.
Okay.
DayZ is the game. It's a movie. You'll go on adventures in that game that you will never forget. You play with somebody, and you will never forget that you killed those four guys, ran into the woods when you got shot at. You're on a gear set that you've had for 2 days, and you're only talking to this random dude you met in game chat. You tell him you're going to be on at 10 a.m. the next day. And then you get shot at and you're literally terrified. Like it's the best game, bro. It's the best game.
It's a zombie survival game?
Yep. And your loot is terrible and like struggling and it's just every run is just a zero to hero. You've got this objective, what you're trying to do. It's so amazing, bro. It's such a good game.
Okay. Maybe I'll take it.
And everyone's funny too. Everybody that plays that game is funny. They're all using their mics. Half of them are role-playing in your ear. They're giving you fake names. They're throwing on accents and stuff. It's great, dude. The day one servers. If you've never played DayZ, it's cheap. It's got to be like $20 now.
They keep resetting it? They keep resetting?
What do you mean?
It's like 2013. So do people come out with servers that you can play on?
Yeah. They make custom maps and everything. There's like a DZSA launcher, which like auto-loads all the mods you need. Okay. DZSA is the launcher if you want to check that out. Okay. Honestly, it's such a good game, and it's so funny. It is so funny.
That's a big thing that I've heard about Arc Raiders recently, is that I know you had a lot of FPS videos on your channel before you did PoE2. Is that something you've tried out? It's not a first-person shooter, the third-person, but I've heard that.
That was one of those games where it's like, I was streaming every day, and like after you rip a 10-hour stream, I just do not feel like gaming. I'm throwing up the editing software or something. I watch my friends play it. And they're like pros in other games, like they competed in Apex and stuff, like T1 pros. And they did everything they could do in that game in like a week and just got insta-bored. So it's like,
wow.
I kind of watched them spoil it for themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I didn't try it, but it looks good. It looks fun.
Okay.
But I don't have anything bad to say about it because I didn't play it. But
right, exactly.
They say that it needs more content and
got it.
Okay. They're ready to blast it again, but. They're also nerds, so
maybe
incredible. It's really sick if you're getting killed every other run and, you know, there's some struggle.
Exactly.
They were destroying people.
Right. Okay, non-gaming, what's your favorite meal, dude? We have no idea what you look like, all right? I want to know what you eat. What's your favorite meal, hands
whatever
down?
Whatever you can imagine, anything that you can judge, that's what I look like. The funniest thing in your head, just picture that.
All right.
Dude, honestly, anything I don't have to pay for, any home-cooked meal that's free, like... what's one thing?
Yeah, what's like your come on, your go-to? If you're like
spaghetti, you can't mess up spaghetti, bro.
Spaghetti.
I don't care what noodle we're using. I don't care if it's angel hair. I don't care what it is. Spaghetti is just good.
Some
penne pot, maybe a penne noodle.
Okay.
Any, doesn't matter. Bow tie, don't care. Spaghetti.
You do you Alfredo? Do you do tomato sauce, ketchup? What do you have with your spaghetti?
Don't care. I'm not putting ketchup on spaghetti.
Yo, but what's wrong with that?
Hey, you can throw some ketchup on there. I'm not judging.
Have you tried ketchup with cold spaghetti before, Prada?
If my grandparents heard you say that in this Italian household, you might get put on a cross.
Oh, no.
Might get crucified for that one.
Dude, just try. Come on. Sneak a little bit into your room, okay? And then you can let it cool down, and then you squirt a little packet of ketchup in there. Dude, try it. You might like it. Oh, no.
I'm not trying that.
My
I love you, bro, but
me.
I'm not putting spaghetti on there. Or okay. I'm not putting ketchup on spaghetti, bro.
All right. So my mom was really poor when she grew up in Germany, and this was like a meal that they had. I think like they'd have spaghetti and then like left like cold ketchup, crap ketchup. And she like loves it so much. So she showed it to us as kids. And it's like, it was like her comfort meal, so maybe that's why I like it. Because I have it, and I'm like, oh, man, that's actually pretty good.
Oh, dude.
I haven't had it for a decade.
No, that sounds wholesome. I won't lie. I have a story like that. So okay. we were pretty poor, too. Like, heat the house with the oven poor.
Oh,
like,
God.
We had this PlayStation 2 in this terrible apartment. Smells terrible. The people, I think somebody died in that apartment before we moved in there, and we got it for dirt cheap. And, my mom was like so excited to see me on the game or whatever because I was a badass kid. So yeah. If I'm not outside, I'm inside. You know, everything's under control, whatever. She gets me this game for, I don't remember if it was my birthday or Christmas. It's like Simpsons Hit and Run, I think. And she gets it and she's just like, I can tell what the gift is when it's wrapped because it's like, obviously it's shaped like a game case or whatever. And she was so excited to get me this game. She was saying, I got you a good present this time, all this, whatever. 60 bones at the time, right? Oh, I open it, Xbox case. Oh, God. It cut right through me. And I didn't have the heart to tell her.
Oh, really?
I didn't have the heart to tell her, so I just hugged her and told her it was an awesome gift, bro. Never got to play that game. It was an Xbox 360 game. We had a PlayStation 2.
Oh, dang.
Oh, God.
Dude, that's rough. That's so rough.
Great 60. Gift, though. She tried, bro. She
60.
Tried.
60. Yeah. Yeah. That is really nice. I've heard good things about that game, too, dude.
I've never seen any gameplay, but...
It's just what it sounds like.
It would have been fire. It would have been fire.
Oh, well, that's cute. Okay. Then to close us out, okay, I've got two more things that I wanted to ask you
about. What's
up? What is your hottest take about gaming in general, like the industry? Do you have any that would surprise people or infuriate people?
I think we touched on it a bit. Yeah. Like just like obviously in the last, I'd say like 7 to 10 years, big time during COVID, but like gaming got a crazy influx of casual gamers. Like.
Hmm.
I don't know. I obviously I don't have any statistics off the top of my head, but everybody I know in real life plays video games now. It's just like it used to be this taboo thing where you had one friend at school that had an Xbox and you were like you had that bond or whatever. You didn't tell anyone. You went home and played COD, whatever is this nerdy thing. Or maybe if you were in the WoW generation, you know, OSRS generation, like you had that one homie. Now it's like everybody plays Valorant or has a console or it's just so accessible now. And I think because of this, like, huge influx of casual gamers, that there's this, like, byproduct that all of the games just trend easier. Every year, games just get easier, 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 easier. They're all, like, hand-holdy. And also just the average attention span of, like, people in general is just, like, shot to bits. And, people, I don't know. I feel like easy video games are not memorable. I feel like we're not going to remember any of these, like, I don't know, I call them slop. It's just slop games.
So
they're trying to get as much bread out of you as possible. If it's a single-player game, they get you for that $60. They're $70 now, and you just never look back. And there was a time where you would go to sleep without killing a boss in a video game and wake up the next day, like, ready to do it, and you're just, like, not going to progress until you're good enough. And there's this skill plateau. And until you're onto the next stage, you are stuck at Ornstein and Smo in Dark Souls 1 for days sometimes. If you're not good, too bad. And I don't know. I feel like those moments of triumph where you finally get through the adversity are very human. And I want more of that in video games again. I feel like games are just too damn easy. And you see it in, you know, how people react to updates. And, you know, when things get difficult, people have really negative reactions to it. And I don't know.
Yeah.
But maybe you could weigh into, maybe it's like from a developer perspective, it's like there's just so much access to information because of the internet that it's just like impossible to make something that can't be solved in like an instant. Like somebody can just Google how to beat this boss, how to find the best weapon. You know what I mean? All of this is just like right there. Maybe that's a problem. I've never had to make a video game, so I have no idea. But
well, it's like a self-imposed. I feel like we talked about it. You said we talked about it earlier. A lot of people like to skip steps in the video game now. They like to look up how to beat a certain boss's moveset. They like to look up the guides. They like to watch like the video and just replicate it perfectly because they don't want to waste time trying and failing. A lot of people, from what I see, think that failure equals wasted time. I don't see it that way. I see it exactly as you said it.
It's a loss. It's a lesson. Yeah.
It's a lesson, and it becomes a triumph. If you fail and you fail and you fail, and then you eventually succeed because you figured it out, you improved, it feels so much sweeter. And this is true with like everything in life.
Delayed gratification.
Delayed gratification.
People want it now. The attention span is fried. They want it now. They need to try every boss.
Yep.
It's.
And that's kind of what happened. Honestly, I've really liked the campaign in PoE 2 0.1. I thought it was so much better. It's so much easier now because I think there were so many complaints about how difficult it was. Unfortunately. Yep. And just people were failing. They were getting hard stuck. They did have to improve their build in some way.
God forbid you have to learn a boss's move.
You have to.
6 hours into your playthrough. Like,
right.
God forbid.
Right.
Like
that Geonor fight, dude, that first time. Man, I can... except in Citadels. But in the campaign, he is a joke, man. And it's not just because I'm, like, better. I swear. Yeah. That was crazy in 0.1.
I actually had friends in Discord when this game came out. They were hard stuck on him for 3 days because they didn't know anything about resistances. I had friends that were getting absolutely destroyed. And me and my one friend are like first trying him because we played ARPGs before. We played PoE1. And we had friends that were on Invoker trying to like bonk him with a regular quarterstaff strike. And they were stuck on him for like two or three days, dude. Which is funny. It's funny. But like when they win and they rejoice, you know, like they had more fun than you in the long run. Like the moment they get when they finally win.
Yes.
Is like you can't replace that.
It's cathartic.
You can't replicate that.
No.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I would kill to be a noob again and just like wipe my memory of everything I know about these games and get to learn it again for the first time. I would kill.
Yes. Yep. That's
anytime we get a new player that comes around and is like, any tips, anything you recommend? Yeah, don't watch any videos.
Yep.
The best tip I can give you is don't watch any videos.
That's the title of the podcast right there. Thank you, Prada.
Oh yeah.
Don't watch anything.
Do not watch any videos, especially mine. Yes. Do not watch them.
Blacklisted, man. Okay. All right, Prada. I have one closing thing to close us out here, but did you have anything you wanted to chat about that we missed, either in the list, something that you thought of?
Revert the DR change. If you've tried to make your own character and you're like cognizant of, you know, these builds need to crutch this interaction in this boss room just to get by, like, the best part about bossing in this game was that there was no DR. It's like a band-aid fix to a we can't whack-a-mole every overpowered build. I think people are conditioned and used to it. They're used to damage reduction. By the way, DR, damage reduction. They're used to damage reduction. They're used to invulnerability phases, and they're used to 45 minutes of a character talking before you can deal damage. That's like main character antagonist LARPing on your screen. We don't need to listen to the Act 4 boss tell us something all over again.
Oh.
And then he spawns in with DR. We don't need to listen to Zarwali the Bone Tyrant like manifest himself from the ashes into this skeletal beast for 15 seconds just to have 4 seconds of DR. Like, I'm running out of chiming staff time. Like, so many... It is so bad for the early game, like, character progression curve if you're playing something that isn't established as the best single target in the game, right? Obviously, out of sight, out of mind. If you played Poison Burst this league, you probably don't even know that bosses have DR. It's probably not even in. If you're on a character and you got lucky early league, dropped a headhunter, you're on a character where you crafted some mirror tier stuff, this is a non-factor. If you make your own builds and you're trying to problem solve for single target, DR is just like this permanent thorn in your side. And I genuinely believe that somewhere out there, there is a way to make these bosses more difficult.
Yeah.
Like maybe make the boss aggro you instantly, maybe make the boss have smaller windows for dodging. So many ways you can approach it. I think that obviously they're trying to nerf character power, but they don't want to do it to you because then you feel bad. So instead they just make it so that the boss just doesn't take any damage at the start of the fight.
Yep.
And if your build has some condition that must be met, like I need to get these lightning rods down in 0.4 and put a tornado shot on it before I can do any damage at all. And like, I can't do that setup prior to the boss spawning in with his LARP animation, because he's going to be invulnerable right after that. Like, good luck, bro. You're just suffering. But it's an optics thing, right? You're a dev. You're looking at people one-shot your pinnacle boss that you've gassed up as this, like, really difficult, you know.
Yeah.
He always going to one-shot you. His moves are X, Y, or Z, and they build it up. And then somebody that's died to the boss 50 times watches me one-shot Zeshed. It's a bad look. It makes your game look cheap. I understand completely. But, like, I would much rather them just be more active in, like, nerfing what the best single-target skills are, so we don't have, like, a 10-year power creep. Like, damage reduction and invulnerability phases are in PoE1 because the game has been out for 10 to 12 years, and people have broken it every which way. There's no going back and fixing all of it and nerfing all of it. People will break your game, period, right? But, like, I don't think there should be a world where you can't make a character because you can't solve for single target because the boss is like moving really fast and you're
right.
You needed to perfect strike him. You needed to get a snipe off. You needed to stack up, you know, 15 curses on the ground and a chiming staff. And you needed to cast 45 times into Orb of Storms before you can do any damage. Like, this can't be the way. Please revert it. That's my only complaint is that the DR messes with what builds you can be creative in creating. That's my only complaint about the entire league. Outside of that, like, I think that's a major sidestep. I don't think it's a step backwards necessarily because I'm accustomed to it. I'm used to it. But it's like, if I can't cook up 50,000 builds that can figure it out and I've got 3,750 hours in the game, imagine Burger Timmy over here, 20 hours played, trying to solve for single target.
Not happening.
He's right. Cooked. He's cooked. And his gear is bad, and he's cooked. So that's my only complaint. Think of something that isn't just, oh yeah, the boss doesn't take any damage for between 3 and 7 seconds.
Yeah,
and that's after a 15-second animation. Like,
yeah, I wonder if that's a band-aid.
Please.
I really wonder because there's also like no shield, like effect or anything. So you just need to know this is happening too.
Yep. And it's variable too. If the boss does a different move at the start of the fight, he has DR for a different amount of time.
Because he's not moving.
It feels terrible.
Yep.
And it's like, instead of watching somebody one-shot the boss that you worked so hard on with all those animations from a developer perspective, you get to watch me run around like a cheeseburger in the boss room and not attack him for 4 seconds. Both of them look terrible. So there's got to be some solution to that. Hopefully it's not permanent. We can have a video game that does not have invulnerability phases in DR. If you want to do the multi-phase boss fight of like, okay, Tavaki is going to knock you down, then you got to run into his last section. And then you got to kill him there, and then you got to kill him there again. Cool, that's fine, whatever. Just like, don't make him talk for 45 seconds between each phase. That'd be cool. Like,
they gotta
it's
fix
not
that.
Relevant anymore.
They
got, like,
they
that's
gotta
in,
change that. Like,
yeah,
the
that's,
end game
that's cool
version.
In Act 4.
Right.
Yeah. When you fight him once, and it's relevant to the story. Once you're in maps, and he's talking about got to build the weapon, manifest the... I don't care anymore, bro. Number, you know, 10,000 fight. I'm not worried about that.
They should just turn each phase into a different map. Boom. Solved, GGG. Go for that.
Or, I mean, the worst one, in my opinion, worst one, is the boss that spawns out of the hole. He's in Act 2, Spires
of
Dishar.
Torgal. Yeah.
The bone. Yes, the bone guy. If I have to watch that dude recollect himself before I can fight him, and then I got a deal. He's got 2 one-shot moves, by the way. He's got a head slam. And he's got a hand slam. If you're under a certain EHP, those are one shots if you're in the maps. And this guy can't be killed instantly at the start of fight unless your character is a goat. Like, unacceptable! It's 20 seconds where you can't damage a boss. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. The only boss that gets a pass is Crowbell. I will watch Crowbell bang on that door and run to his little death pit for the rest of time because he's got aura. He's got aura. We respect Crowbell. Everybody else, screw that. We're not doing it. We're not doing it.
I love it. I love it. That's good. That's good. He also makes those little squeaky noises, which is great too.
He's a beast, bro.
Yeah,
he's a beast.
Awesome. He's sick. Yeah. He's the only DR. One that gets a pass. DR.
Well,
that's a good one.
Get
make
out,
a video.
Get it out.
Make a video about
we will.
It. Yeah,
we
do
will.
It. Heck yeah. Show it off. Okay. All right, Prada. The only thing I have left for you is I'm wondering, are you sticking to main league or is there any way we can pull you out for that private league we're hosting?
I'm going to play the private league. I've got a couple plans for builds that I want to get done and like doing a whole economy reset. Like, you know, gets in the way of that. I got content I got to make, but I will definitely be in the private league. Probably just not on the day that it releases, but you will see me in there. I'm going to bring viewers over.
Cool.
It's going to be a blast. Shout out to everybody that's doing the private leagues. That stuff is sick.
Yeah. Yeah. Second win. Great. It's going to be good. Local hole, awesome. Dead Rabbit, me, a lot of other people are going to be playing it. So it's cool. We'll get you in there too with some viewers. Heck yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you for sharing your platform with me. Yeah, I hope that everybody has more fun, maybe a more positive outlook on the game. We don't need to be bitching.
True.
There's nothing that says you can't have fun on POE.
There you go.
But I really appreciate it, bro, and you're a professional. You kill this shit, dude. Good shit.
Oh, thanks, Prada. I appreciate it. Everybody in the live chat,
let's go.
In the VOD, all of Prada's stuff's going to be in the description. Thanks, bro, for coming
on. Let's go.
I really appreciate it.
Of course,
let's go.
Man. Thank you for having me.
All right.
Peace.
Have a good one.
Peace.
Bye-bye.
Later.
Thank you, Prada.